Harper's Kennel of Stella, Missouri is proud to be sponsoring this portion of broadcasting on KNEO. Owned by Judy and Danny Harper, Harper's Kennel of Stella, Missouri specializes in French Bulldogs. For more information, the phone number is 417-628-3083.
Welcome to Crosspoint.
Crosspoint.
Crosspoint. Crosspoint. An interactive program featuring ministers and leaders of the Christian community addressing the issues that are challenging the church today. Here's your host, Mark Taylor.
What do you think heaven is all about? It may be far better than you can imagine. Welcome to Crosspoint. I'm Mark Taylor. Today we're going to talk about what the hereafter might be like from a new book by Terry James and Jonathan C. Brantner. Back with us today here on Crosspoint, we have Terry James, and Terry's been a frequent visitor here to Crosspoint. Always got good insight, especially to what's going on in the world around us and what is coming up in the book we're entitled today, The Hereafter. It's far better than you can imagine, the book says. And I think probably, Terry, a lot more and more people than it used to be are really beginning to think about the hereafter now more than they ever have. What do you think?
Well, I think that's probably true, particularly seeing some of the evil that's going on around us, and we're wondering sometimes how long can this old world last. So I think that probably gets into the mind of a lot of people. Of course, when we're grounded in Bible prophecy and God's Word, we know pretty much the end from the beginning, because God knows the end from the beginning, so we can take great comfort from that if we are Christians and in Christ and the Holy Spirit who indwells a Christian is comforting and so forth. But still, there's so much going on that it's worsening.
Well, that's true. And, you know, you kind of get our attention right here in the first part of the book, in the introduction, page 3. You talk about, in spite of Satan's continual wars against humanity, as believers in Christ, we live in the hope of a glorious eternity. And at this moment, those who follow Christ, as well as unbelievers, face the world's worst that they have faced by the people of Hitler's day. And then you talk about the rumors of war and the devastation and things like that that's going on. You talk about the Ukrainian people and the Russian assault, and you said this battle has the potential to explode into a nuclear catastrophe. If that happens, Terry, we are in big trouble.
No, that's right. Nuclear catastrophe is definitely in the mixture. I read just today on my news that Vladimir Putin has responded to Emmanuel Macron of France's statement that NATO might have to send troops into Ukraine, and Putin said, well, you know, if you do that, that's going to mean nuclear war almost for sure. Now, both of them may be bloviating just a bit there, but that shows you just where we are. We're sitting right on a powder keg, and of course, Israel. And all of that, you know, Israel will use nuclear weapons if they are about to go down. I mean, the Samson option, we've heard about that.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of things. But the comfort is, there's comfort in this, too, because I personally don't think that World War III is possible this side of the rapture of the church.
Yeah. Well, we know also, you know, thinking of the hereafter, you know, and how close that could be, you know, you do have to take in consideration what is happening over in Israel and the potential of Hamas, brought down. But then if Hezbollah steps in, and we know all this is behind Iran, proxies, you know, they're doing it,
right,
and stuff. And so, yeah, there's a lot of things that can mushroom into that. And so we really should be concerned about what's going to happen after here, because this place eventually is going to burn. I mean, the Bible says it's going to be destroyed. Before that time, it's going to get pretty nasty, and some things are going to happen that's going to turn seas into blood and everything else. So, you know, we know it's coming. You say here in just at the end of chapter 3 in the book, you said, if anything causes us to long for our heavenly home, all the more it's the presence of the wickedness, lawlessness, violence, and the disarming of deception we're seeing everywhere in the world. All these conditions are starting the stage for the coming tribulation, the rule of Antichrist, and we believe that the leading figures in the prophecy time are ready and waiting for the curtain to rise and on the quest of world domination. We are pretty close to this, aren't we?
We're very close to it, and I wrote an article recently for RapTheReady.com, and title, I think, was Guess Who Is Rapture Ready? Our website is raptureready.com. Mm-hmm. Guess Who's Rapture Ready? Well, I think, and I point out in the article, that Satan is a rapture ready. He believes God. He knows God can't lie. He knows the rapture is coming, despite the even clergy today, and Christian clergy deny that there will ever be a rapture, that some of them do. But yeah. Satan knows, so I titled that Guess Who's Rapture Ready? Now, I did that because I see all of these things, and we see all these things preparing for the tribulation era, and that's going to be the era where he knows he can insert his man, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, and so he's getting ready, and that's why we see all of these things shaping up worldwide as we do, is Satan preparing the way for his man. He knows the rapture is going to come, and that when that happens, the tribulation is going to be here, and he wants everything in place, and he's getting it that way.
Yeah, at a recent conference I just got back from, we watched a lot of new technology and a lot of things that are happening. Things like virtual church, robotic preaching, things that can deceive people out there. Man, you talk about a perfect setup for the Antichrist. And they told us that it's taking only 2 years now for the technology to evolve completely over again as it was taken in 24 years before. So that's how fast these things are happening.
Well, you know, Daniel the prophet said that in the very last days, knowledge will increase, and that means knowledge of not only things about the end times, but the knowledge in general. And certainly we've seen an exponential increase of knowledge. This AI, this artificial intelligence, is just it's unbelievable the things it can do. It's so deceptive. It can take messages from a voice. You know, such as Joe Biden, President Biden, for example, could take his voice and he can make it say anything it wants to and sound just like him, taking bits and pieces from past things or Donald Trump or anybody else. And so it's highly deceptive, and of course Satan is the father of lies and of deceit, and so his man Antichrist is going to use this AI, this artificial intelligence, and so forth, no telling how it will have developed by that time, and eventually, he's going to cause all, both great and small, friend bond to take the mark of the beast.
And it was easy to see how that could happen in doing that, because every AI session workshop was packed with what they were telling us and showing us were the good and the bad of this artificial intelligence. Back in the book here, in the hereafter, page 47, you said, when God says enough, you says, as we watch the world today moving closer to the enslavement envisioned by the globalists, we look at the someday soon that God will say enough. And the following words of the Lord Jesus as told in Luke 28-30 will foreshadow that heavenly exclamation. Likewise, just as in the days of Lot, they will be setting, eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom and fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all, so it will be like that when the Son of Man is revealed. And you say, at this time, the Lord will remove God's children from the earth. So as what you're saying here is, when God, the rapture does come and God removes the people from the earth, I mean, it's kind of like all hell's going to be released upon the earth, and it's going to be really bad, like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah.
We were discussing before we came on the air here about my last book, Nearing Midnight. And of course, the subtitle of that was As It Was in the Days of Lot. And that's taken from Luke, as you said, Luke 7, chapter 17, verses 28 through 30. And Jesus says it's going to be just like that. The world is going to be just like that. I think maybe Jesus had this very nation in mind, because we are the apex nation of all history, so far as development is concerned, material developments and so forth. And we've been spiritually blessed too, but materially blessed beyond all others. Well, Lot's day, Sodom and Gomorrah was considered, you know, the most developed. You know, Lot asked, you know, when Abraham, his uncle, ask him which section he wanted to take for his own family and so forth, that they gave either the land where they were then with Abraham, or the vast plains of what we would now call down around the Dead Sea, the Sodom and Gomorrah. And of course, Lot took those. I want that down there, because that's considered the kind of the apex place of the world at the time. And Jesus says it's going to be just like that, it's going to be business as usual. Lot sat in the city gate. He was an administrator, a judge or administrator. And despite the fact of all the wickedness going on around him. He was a judge and an administrator, but it was business as usual during the day with great commerce and everything else in Solomon Gomorrah. But the moment that the lights went out at night, well, it became the most wicked culture in all of history as we know, and that's why God had to come down and destroy it. Now, Jesus is going to be just like that, business as usual on the surface, but beneath that runs a river of evil beyond which we can't imagine. We see that happening now, developing in this country in particular. All is business as usual. I mean, America's still the most productive. I hear a lot of rumors about failing and everything, but we're still the most productive. The dollar is the number one currency of the world. Every other currency is somehow linked to it. And so it's business as usual, but we know that America also exports some of the most evil things in the world, and that, like pornography and other things, technologies we've developed. And so Jesus says it's going to be like that when he next catastrophically intervenes into mankind's history. Just like but before that happened, he took Lot and his two daughters and his wife. After the wife turned back, and she turned into that pillar of salt. But the two daughters and Lot went on to Zoar. The angel took them by the hand, took them out of that wicked city, and then that judgment fell the very day that they went out. And Jesus says it's going to be just like that. Now, this is the greatest prophet, the Son of God, God who created everything, Jesus. He said it's going to be just like that. So we see all the developments in place for this to happen. And so I believe that because we see these developments and so forth, that Jesus is just about on the cusp of taking all believers. And that's what this was a symbol of Lot and his daughters going out, is the symbol of all believers in Jesus Christ being taken out at the rapture.
Now, chapter 5 of the book, you talk about, you know, God's book is a supernatural book. And over here on page 56 over to 57, you said, this is a tribulation evangelism, that part you call that. During the tribulation, a multitude of martyred believers will appear in heaven before God's throne, and the church in heaven is likely, we will witness the scene of the tribulation saints pleading their case before the Father. Tell us about that.
Well, I think all the believers that they're talking about right there, what you just mentioned is believers who come out of the tribulation. There's going to be millions and the people saved, we believe, during the tribulation. When they see this disappearance of all these people, plus all the evil and all of the horrific things going on during that era, they're going to realize that this message of Jesus Christ is a correct one. And plus, God himself is going to mark 144,000 literal Jewish evangelists for great evangelistic work during that period of time. The Holy Spirit will no longer be restraining as much as he does in this era, but he will be helping get the message out that Jesus alone is the Savior of the world. So all these people who come out of the tribulation, these martyrs who are beheaded for the cause of Christ, because Antichrist will kill millions of them, and as long with the many Jews he will be killing. And these are the people who are before underneath the throne, saying, "How long, O Lord, before you bring an end to all of this?" And God simply says, "Be patient. You know, many more have to come as you have as martyrs, and then I will restore the earth and so forth." So that's what these are, and we will be watching, as my friend Chuck Missler used to say, from the balcony of heaven, because we will already be in heaven after the rapture. I'm talking about believers before the tribulation begins. Believers will be taken out, and so we will know what's going on, I think, on the earth, because we will have a minds like Christ, Jesus himself said. We will have minds like him, so we will know as we are known, and we will be able to understand things going on, and we'll be able to understand God's perfect righteousness.
Now, Terry, in your book here, you have a co-author, Jonathan Brintner, that put this book together with you. And so tell people how they can find out more about the book hereafter. Also, all the work that Rapture Ready does and the other books you've done as well. How would people go about getting in contact with you?
Well, you're welcome to email me at my go to raptureready.com or my prophecy site, my blog site, TerryJamesProphecyLine.com, and you can find my email address is WTJames1@swbell.net. And they can write me. I'll be glad. I'll respond when I as quickly as I can. I get quite a few emails, but I will respond and to tell you how to get my books, or just go to, you can go to Amazon. Most of my books are listed on Amazon. Just look up Terry James Books on Amazon, and I don't know. I've people always asking me how many books have you written. So I finally counted them, Mark, and 47. So. There's plenty of them on Amazon, and of course, RaptureReady.com will not only tell you where to get them, but they will kind of outline the books to kind of tell them what they're about and so forth. So we invite people to come and check it out.
Well, folks, stay with us, and we're going to have more about the hereafter right after this. This is Mark Taylor. If you miss a broadcast of Crosspoint, you can always go to our website at www.kneo.org and click on the programs page. There you can access the current Crosspoint program as well as the last four programs that have been aired. Never miss another Crosspoint program again. Go to www.kneo.org today. Welcome back to Crosspoint. I'm Mark Taylor. My guest today is Terry James. Now, Terry, along with Jonathan Rentner, has put out this book entitled The Hereafter. It's far better than you can imagine. Chapter 6 of the book says rewards beyond imagination. In there on page 69, Terry, you say that Jesus will access our works by fire and reward us for the ones that withstand the blaze. Some will watch as the flames devour everything, and although they will remain in heaven, they will regret missing rewards that might have been theirs. Then you say down at the bottom of the page here, the Lord will reward those who have faithfully used the gifts and talents and opportunities he provides. For many, hearing the Savior express his approval of our lives will be as precious as the crowns, or even more so. So not everything we do that we think we're doing for the Lord is going to survive his scrutiny, right?
That's right. Now, some people, you know, think, well, we're going to be at another judgment, even though we won't be at the Great White Throne, where God's going to judge us. Is that going to hurt? Well, I think it may cause some, a little bit of sadness that we haven't lived exactly, haven't fulfilled everything God had planned for our lives, and that would be a disappointment. But I don't think, you know, the fact is, it's still a glorious future. We'll all be there, be in heaven forever. Anybody at the Bema or judgment seat of Christ will be in heaven forever. But, as you say, we will lose rewards what we would have had otherwise had if we had done what God gave us to do while we were here on this earth and our earthly life. That's why it's so important to carry out the mission he has given each of us. And each of us will be judged, thankfully, Terry James won't be judged on what Billy Graham did. Thank goodness for that. I'll be judged for the mission I have been given, and so will each believer. And if we have faithfully tried to execute the gifts and the mission that God has given each one of us, that's what we'll be judged on. We'll be given great rewards based on that. Conversely, we will be taken, and we'll have lose rewards if we fail to do that and deliberately fail to live up to what God wants to do. And in the spiritual fire, the godly fires of omniscience and holy fire of righteousness will burn up, burn up all, use the holy fires of God's judgment to burn up all works that have not been what God wanted for us to do. In other words, we might think we were really good at contributing to our community and to being on committees and everything, and how somehow that's supposed to be a godly reward. Now, it might be if our attitude is right, and that's what God has given us to do. If we have done these things and we do it because we truly want to carry out God's work, truly want to help people, then yeah, then God will give rewards for that. But if one wants to do it just for their own prestige, well, that work will burn up, I believe the Lord is telling us. So we must do what God has put us here to do, and that is what we'll be judged on, not on what anybody else does, but what we do.
Well, you know, the awareness of our rewards and our faithfulness, that should encourage us during the times we don't think anybody notices or we're struggling with situations, and we really shouldn't be doing them, I guess, for other people to notice as anyway. Being faithful to what God calls us to do is what's important. I know there's a lot of people out there that believe they can just do good things, and that's good enough. But if we're not doing what God specifically asks us to do, that won't be good enough, will it?
That's right. He is built within each person the mission he wants us to accomplish. And, of course, the overall mission is to carry out the gospel to the whole world. But on an individual basis, there are many, many things that each of us, I mean, some of us have talents to write, some of us have talents to speak, some of us have talents to help others. I remember Tim LaHaye once told my buddy that travels with me, because I'm blind, and Mike drives me around, and we fly around together and do all kinds of things. And we were Dr. Tim LaHaye, who wrote the Left Behind series. He said, Mike, you have the gift of helps. And I didn't even know about that help, but Tim did. And so we always talk about that, how Tim had told Mike that he had the gift of help. So helps are all kind of different gifts that God has given each of us, and talents. And we are to try to, you know, ask God what those talents are. He'll show us and how they should be used, and he will provide opportunities. So that's how God's system of rewards work.
Chapter 8, I believe it is, is a good chapter, but it's got kind of a part there that really kind of makes you think, and that's found on page 90. It says, by the end of the tribulation, a substantial number of people from the nations of the world will have taken the mark of the beast and survived the judgments of the day of the Lord. They are the ones who will mourn at the sight of Jesus returning, because they will know that his arrival seals their eternal doom. And the armies will gather against Zion to fight the battle we know as Armageddon. Will also tremble with fear at his sight. You say their destruction will come quickly. They won't even have the opportunity to fight against the Lord. For the earthbound Gentiles, who through a remarkable demonstration of their strong faith, they will have refused to take the mark of the beast, and the beast somehow will manage to remain alive during the worst time in history. The sight of Jesus on a white horse, that will bring them great relief. Man, that's going to be a trying time, isn't it?
That really will be. You know, in Christians, that is, believers of this church age, the age of grace, who go in the rapture, we will all be coming, returning to Jesus, with Jesus behind him, as he breaks through the darkness and gloom of that Armageddon era. And in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 says that he'll come through, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We'll all be behind him on white horses, following him, white heavenly steeds. And it says that a sword comes out of his mouth. And, you know, that's a symbolic thing. A sword with which he will slay the nations. All the armies of the world will be gathered together, the first to fight each other, and then they will see him breaking through, and they will turn their weaponry and so forth on Jesus. And of course, it says that he will slay the armies of Armageddon with just a sword of his mouth. I believe it's going to be, Mark, the same words he said when he was asleep on the Sea of Galilee in that little boat. And there was a terrible sea raging, and the little boat was about to be swamped. His disciples came to him and said, Lord, don't you know we're about to perish? He woke Jesus up. He stood up, and he simply looked out, and he said, peace, be still. And the whole thing just calmed absolutely down. It was like glass. I'm convinced that sea went from a raging sea to a sea of slick like glass. That's the same thing's going to happen in Armageddon. I believe he's simply going to speak the word, peace, be still. And every army on the earth is going to just, I think they'll burst open literally from that power of that command, because it says that blood's going to flow from for over 100 miles because of Christ's judgment. And of course, I've heard Hal Lindsey say that because 100-pound hailstones will come crashing to earth at this very time. That all those hailstones mixed with all that blood will be like a river to flow to the high, as high as a bridle of a horse. And so, that's going to be an awesome and horrific thing, but God has to destroy and judge in righteousness, and he's going to do it.
Yeah. Terry, you also in here talk about the millennium reign, the millennium kingdom. You talk about it being the inheritance of the New Testament saints in here. And you mentioned, you know, different things that during the millennium there will be a mountain we will often visit. You mentioned even more about that. I'd really sometime like to do just a cross point on just the millennial reign, because I think a lot of people, and I included one of those, don't really understand everything about the millennial reign. It's kind of hard to draw in, but you do mention it here in the book. Tell us a little bit about that.
About the millennial reign of Christ. Well, when Christ comes back, after he has destroyed all of his enemies and so forth, well, he will establish his, says that his foot will touch down in that day on the Mount of Olives, the same place that from which he ascended into heaven with the disciples gawking at him, you know. And the angel said, why stand you here looking into heaven? The same Jesus you see leave will come in the same manner. So his foot will touch down on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives will cleave, in other words, part from that point right down through the Kidron Valley and to the Temple Mount. And the earth will immediately begin a pristine change. Jesus himself will change the whole earth into a pristine setting. It'll begin, you know, regenerating just like it was in the days of Eden before the fall. And so Christ will set up his millennial kingdom. He will have to judge the sheep and the goats nation. Those who are lost will go into the goat nations. Those who are saved will be in the sheep nations. These nations, the sheep nations, will be the ones that will inherit the millennial earth. Christ will be on a highly elevated Mount Zion, which will be the Temple Mount area, and it will be greatly raised, and there will be a heavenly temple. I mean, there'll be a temple there. That's a supernatural temple. The old temple, the Antichrist temple, will be destroyed, but there will be a new one, and the Millennium Mountain, as you call it, will be Mount Zion, and Jesus will reign there over the whole earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And David, who will be supernaturally resurrected, will rule with him as co-regent on the king. He says the throne of David will, and David will rule as over the nation Israel, while Christ rules over the whole world. And so, the millennium means mil is a thousand, annum is a year, are years. So it'll be a 1,000-year reign of Christ. This is called Chiliasm in the study of it. And so the people who are in that millennial era will be flesh and blood people, because they will be the people who were saved during the tribulation era, and they will go in to repopulate the earth. They will procreate. We as believers in the pre-trib era will be there to help Christ rule and reign over the earth. We will be given offices and so forth to carry out based upon, again, the beam of judgment, what we have done in this life. Based upon that, that's the kind of duties we'll be given, depending on how elevated we'll be there. And so we will help all of the millennial era human beings, flesh and blood beings, to get through that 1,000-year era, and it will be great because Christ will be there. There'll be no crime. Anybody who commits a crime will forfeit with his life, and there will be very little death. There will be some death, the Bible tells us, but it'll be very limited, and most people will live out almost about that 1,000 years. And at the end of that time, Satan will have been bound for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit, him and all of his minions, evil minions. Antichrist and the false prophet, who was during the tribulation era, will have been cast into the lake of fire. And they'll still be there at the end of that 1,000-year millennial reign. Well, Satan will be loosed from that bottomless pit at the very end of that 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, why? I've heard old Dr. J. Vernon McGee said, people ask, well, why would they let him go? Why would God let him go? Well, we don't know the answer to that, but he does. It's probably just a test, because all the people of the millennial era, even though they've been under the rule of Jesus Christ in a perfect kingdom, fallen nature of man is still there in flesh and blood people, and there will be many, he says, many as sands of the sea will join Satan when he is released. So it's another test of humanity and to show God's absolute righteousness. Satan and this group will come and attack Jerusalem, it says, and try to overthrow Christ again. How insane is that? And again, God will simply send fire down and destroy them all. And then after that, following that, there will be a, John says in Revelation that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. This earth will pass away, and God will create a new earth and new heavens, and it'll be perfect with no more sin, death, or dying, and it'll be for all of eternity. And so that is basically the story of the millennium and what happens after.
Yeah, there could be a lot of things there that kind of gets our attention. I mean, it sure does get mine. It's kind of a different part of Bible prophecy that I don't know that's talked as much about as maybe it should be. Again, Terry, tell people how they can find out more about this book to hereafter.
You can go to Amazon and you get it there, or you can go to any of the ministry, Prophecy Watchers, Jan Markell's Reality Tree Ministry. You go to Jan Markell, just a number of ministries who carry my books has a book, Christ in Prophecy, others, and or you can come to theraptureready.com and see where to order off of Amazon or other places. We'll have links there underneath the description of the book. So we invite you again to come to theraptureready.com or my prophecy blog, TerryJamesProphecyLine.com.
All right. Well, folks, stay with us. We're going to have more in a moment.
On purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose.
To get God's truths into their lives.
Share God's love with people who need encouragement.
You get the truth of God out there and it resounds and it resonates.
91.7 The Word.
It does amazing things in people's lives.
You're listening to Crosspoint. Thanks for joining in with us today. I'm talking with Terry James. I'm along with Jonathan Brentner. They have put out this book, The Hereafter. And Terry, the book says, The Hereafter, it's far better than you can imagine. What are you trying to tell people here when you say it's far better than you can imagine?
Well, you know, I'm the one that came up with the title Hereafter. I based that upon Paul Harvey. You know, Paul Harvey, I used to listen to him some, and Paul Harvey would say, you know, you want to keep your teeth. He was advertising a toothpaste. I don't know which one it was, but he said, you want to keep your teeth from here to hereafter, and he was a Christian guy. And so that's where that title came from. And the subtitle, what is it again? It's much better. It's better than you can imagine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jonathan came up with that one, Jonathan Brentner, and I want to give him credit because he wrote much of this book, probably most of it. And he's a terrific writer and a Christian friend and just a great writer. He's done a lot of things himself. But what that means is it's just we can't – I imagine, you know, God's Word says – man has not seen or heard, nor has it entered into his mind the things God has prepared for those who love him. And so anybody who loves Christ and has accepted him, we can't even imagine the great things. Now listen to this. Jesus Christ is his son, and we know how much God loved his son. His son is God. Jesus Christ, and he, all of heaven is his. And here's what God's Word says, that we are joint heirs. Now, what that means in legal terms and in biblical terms is that everything that is Jesus is belongs to him, belongs to us in full, not just part of it. We're not given little increments of it. The whole shooting match is ours. Think of that. Just that alone ought to blow your mind. I mean, here's a man that here's a God that created all there is, and we as his children, as his family, will be completely joint heirs. Everything that's Jesus Christ is ours. All the Heavenly Father possesses, and he possesses everything there is. So that's awesome in itself. And so it says that, you know, our minds can't even comprehend it, and yet we have in our spirits the truth of that fact of what's coming, the hereafter that's coming. And though we can't imagine it fully, we do know in our spirits and we believe with all of our hearts that God is going to fulfill that promise.
Yeah, it kind of goes along with what you say on page 183 of chapter 17, talking about the New Jerusalem. And you say the possibilities seem endless, but we will have all of eternity. The Bible doesn't explain how we as time-bound creatures will relate to the passing of time in eternity. Could we even understand such an explanation before we experience it in heaven? Probably not. So these are things that it's going to be difficult for us to understand, with our own human mind, especially here on this earth. But things are going to change, and it is going to be different for us.
That's right. And, you know, my friend Chuck Missler used to say, you know, God created time for man. It's linear. It's from one end to the other, like a stretched-out rope or something. But God's time is outside of linear time. It's endless. It's ever from everlasting to everlasting. We have no idea what that means, just like we have no idea of so many infinite concepts. Our finite minds cannot grasp it. All we have to do, but what we're not asked to grasp it or fully understand, we're just asked to believe it. That's faith. Believe what God says and what he has said, because he cannot lie, and his Son is the only way to salvation, to reconciliation with God the Father. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And that's what we've got to believe, grasp with all of our hearts. And the Bible again says in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, says that, you know, if you will just, all you have to do is just believe in your heart that and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And believing in your heart means believe everything the Word of God says about him. And confess with your mouth that you believe that and that you've accepted him, and you will be saved, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says.
Now, chapter 20 of the book, frequently asked questions about heaven. Why did you put this part in here to talk about this?
Frequently, because people at prophecy conferences and so forth ask us all kinds of questions. You know, sometimes we have Q&A and so forth, and they really love to ask questions. And a lot of questions, for example, will children go in the rapture? All kinds of things like that.
Yeah. Now, here's one that is in there on page 209. It says, how can I be happy in heaven if someone I loved is on earth isn't there? Well, do we even know that?
That's right. We won't. And here's why. Because God himself, this is another tragic thing about people who don't believe and go to hell. God not only, he forgets all about them. He'll forget them completely. God will forget them, says. He won't even remember them. So how can we remember them? We'll have a mind like Christ. And sadly, I mean, it's just a very sad thing to think of this side of heaven. But then God's going to wipe away every tear. And I agree that if we knew that we had a son or daughter here, or a mother or father that was in hell burning or whatever, well, how could we have our tears wiped away? And in that heavenly sphere, we're going to have a mind like Christ, and so God can forget all of that ever happened bad, and he's going to do that. That's what sin is. He's doing away with sin forever.
You know, I don't know how this question's been asked, but I did hear this recently at a church. A pastor referred to it, and you know, people, especially these days, seem to value pets over humans even. But that is becoming a big deal. I mean, more and more it's pets and those areas there. I had a pet when I was a kid, but it stayed outside. And today most of them live in the house with you.
Yeah.
And that's fine, too.
We have some.
Yes. That's fine, too. But when they die here on this earth, you know, I heard this pastor just say, well, I believe I'll see my dog, whatever its name was, again, when again heaven, that dog went to heaven. And I'm like, how can anything on this earth besides a human being who's made totally different than anything else go to heaven? So yeah. I'm sure you've had this question asked before.
Well, I have had this question. I've written an entire book, Do Our Pets Go to Heaven? I've got an entire book on that. And here's the thing about it. Here's the bottom line, I believe. And, you know, Billy Graham was asked once by a little girl. She said, will I see my pets in heaven? And he said, sweetheart, I believe that if you really want to see that pet in heaven, you will see him. Now, here's what he based it on, and what I based my thinking on. It's the fact that, yes, it's true that man has a spirit that goes, the Bible, the Old Testament says, that goes up. The spirit dies, it goes up. In other words, it goes into either heaven or hell. But the spirit of the animal that dies, it goes into the earth. In other words, it's buried. The spirit is buried. But the fact is, both have spirit. They are life forces God gave. Now, my own opinion is this opinion, there's no way you can prove it. I got somebody the other day that emailed me, and they were really mad at me because I had said somewhere in a book, and I believe this, that that if we really want to see, if that's what we want, that we will be able to see pets in the past if we want to. Jan Markell believes this. She and I are on the same page in that. But do we know, can we prove that scripturally? No. This is just something that we believe that, you know, it makes sense that if it's something we really want and it makes us happy and ecstatic, that God's going to provide that no matter what it is. And so it's just more a hope than it is it's certainly not a doctrine or anything like that. It's just a hope we have, you know.
Yeah. You know, well, there's all other kind of questions in here. You've got, you know, how old will we be when we get to heaven? Will we have supernatural powers?
I wish we had an hour for that.
Yeah, so you've got a lot of questions in here, though, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You've tried to answer several questions that people ask.
I that particular one about what will we look like in heaven, I won't go into it because it's too long to do, but I had a out-of-body experience because I died clinically three times. I have 40 pages of documented hospital documentation. I died on Good Friday of 2011 clinically. Three times my heart stopped. They had to bring me back. Each time I visited heaven, and I saw what, at least the heavenly beings I saw, what they look like. But that's all I saw, really. I didn't get a tour of heaven or anything like that. But all three times I was there. So that's another program for another time that would be very, very... I always like to give that testimony.
Yeah. So you also say here, and you talk about the interpretation of heaven's visions, what you're talking about. You say, also we're getting an increasing number of emails accusing us of being heretics who are leading people to hell with our pre-tribulation rapture teaching. Christians should be prepared to face the coming tribulation Antichrist, and we're told that we are, you know. So tell us a little bit about that, because I know that is out there as well.
I have never understood how they say that if we, by preaching the pre-trib rapture, teaching the pre-trib rapture, that we're leading the people to hell. I never have understood that. Now, their argument is that if we tell people they're going to escape the tribulation, they won't recognize Antichrist when he comes on.
Yeah.
Therefore, they will accept the mark of the beast. And I never have understood that either. It makes no sense to me. I mean, certainly we base everything we do, and I mean, I have literally thousands of pages of documentation of writing and of scriptural proof that the rapture, a pre-trib rapture, is true. So it's not based upon simply something that comes from our head. It's something that God has given us in our spirits to dissect his word and show that there is truth to it. Paul himself, 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians, and Jesus in chapter 3, verse 10 of the Revelation, Jesus' own words tells us that we're going in the rapture. We're not appointed to God's wrath, which is what the tribulation is. So I never have understood that. But we do get accused of that. There's some real hate. There are people who actually hate the doctrine of the rapture. And I mean, you know, I can see maybe criticizing it, but to have such vitriolic thought about it is something else. So I think, to me, that is almost satanic.
Yeah. Toward the end of the book, 239, you say, we have a choice. We can remain in the land of what might have been and let the enemy of our souls rage us with endless changes, or we can put our lives in the hands of the loving, gracious Savior who longs for us to experience the love, forgiveness, and peace he freely offers to all who trust him. You can look ahead to the glory he has prepared for this land and what we will be in the realm of the hereafter. So, yes, you're right. We do have a choice to make, don't we?
Yes, we do. And God does provide peace that passes all understanding. And that peace is only found in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, who indwells us once we have accepted Christ as Savior. And even though we see all these developments, these dark things happening all around us, and there are some really horrific things to contemplate that are on the horizon, we can have peace about it because that means that Jesus is a call into glory, in the rapture, is that much closer. And if we die, meantime, well, we're directly, Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Again, that's a testimony I have, and I would like to ask everybody to just simply accept Christ as Savior and Lord and have faith that he's got everything under control.
Well, the book's entitled The Hereafter. It's far better than you can imagine. Terry James, Jonathan Brentner has put the book together. Terry James, who we've been talking with today. Now, Terry, if people want to find out more about this book, more about your ministry, more about other books, how will they go about doing that?
Just come to raptureready.com, and you can find my books there and where to order. Now, or go to terryjamesprophecyline.com, my little blog, and you can find out all my books and see my interviews, different things there. Go to your favorite prophecy ministry like Jan Markell's Prophecy Ministry or Gary Stearman's, Mondo Gonzalez, prophecywatchers.com, and or Christ in Prophecy, Dr. Dave Reagan's prophecy ministry now run by Tim Moore and Nathan Jones. So you can go to any of these places.
All right. Well, Terry, thanks again for being with us here on Crosspoint.
Appreciate the invitation, Mark. Thank you much.
Terry James did a good job today of helping explain what it's been like in the hereafter. And, you know, another book that helps us as well is a book I have in my other hand right here, the Holy Bible. It's the Word of God. It's the accurate book to follow. And all these other books, you know, they follow from this leading here that the Bible, which is the inspired words of God that are never outdated, can help produce this other material we need to help us here upon this earth. But the Bible contains the most important words you're ever going to read. So, folks, you need to read it, and you need to follow it as well. Be sure and join us again next time as we again discuss issues that are affecting the church. Have a great week, and allow God to use you for His purposes so that greater things can be done. Make your life count in God's plans for eternity. I'm Mark Taylor.
Crosspoint is a program produced in Studio 101 at KNAO Radio. Not all of the views on Crosspoint reflect those of the management or staff of KNEO. You may contact the Crosspoint program at 10827 Highway 86 East, Neosho, Missouri, 64850, or by email crosspoint@kneo.org. You can hear Crosspoint four times a week, Saturday morning at 1, Saturday afternoon at 2, Saturday evening at 9, and Sunday evening at 7. You can also listen anytime online at kneo.org.